Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, filling in for Rob Cesternino today. Basically, I found out who our guest was going to be tonight, and I sent Mr. Robot Taryn to detain Rob in Salt Lake City so I could be the host for this one. I'm very excited to tell you that we've got Aubrey Bracco here from Survivor, Korong, and Game Changers, and she'll be talking Big Brother 19 with us. How you doing, Aubrey?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
I'm super pumped to be talking to you. I also have my good buddy Alex Kidwell here with me. How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing good, Taryn. I'm trying to muster up some enthusiasm. Woo! Big Brother 19 enthusiasm.
I know, right?
Well, we are here to be enthusiastic, so you guys don't have to. We're here to talk about the live eviction of Big Brother 19 tonight here on August 24th. We are live on robhasawebsite.com, and we've got the chat room open. You can send questions into us with the hashtag RHAP, but let's get into this episode. We started off, this episode in general, just did anything happen in this episode, Alex? I don't think anything happened.
They tried to kind of do what they could to pose the possibility that maybe Mark had a chance of staying, but really all they insulted our intelligence for an hour, Taryn. That's what happened.
Yeah, I guess so. Aubrey, you're from Survivor. When did you get into watching Big Brother? Have you always been a fan?
So I had watched a few episodes here and there. I caught the finale, the one where Steve Moses won. And I thought, this is interesting. I have to get into this. And then after Survivor, I decided that I wanted to get into it a little more. And I like to tweet with Andy Heron. He is the best. I love him. So he kind of got me into it because he's super funny. And I always wondered what Caleb was talking about when he was talking about, well, BB this and BB that. So I figured, why not? Let's dive in. And it's weird how it's so similar, but so different. So this is my first season really in it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. I guess we have Andy to thank for you being on the podcast tonight. Andy, fantastic tweeter. So you chose well.
Yeah. All due respect to Caleb, but I totally forgot about the Caleb connection until just.
Yeah. Me too.
I haven't played with him that much. The first time I met him the first time was when he was being taken away in a helicopter. So he wasn't really in the place to say hello.
The second time. And then incidentally enough, just both your seasons happen to be both his seasons.
Yeah, it's so weird. And if it wasn't him, if I had been swapped where he was, it probably would have been me. So thanks, Caleb.
Yeah, bought you a second life, and you did quite a bit with it. Hung on there for quite some time with that one. Yeah.
So do you keep up with the feeds at all, Aubrey?
I do. I have to admit, in the last week or so, it started getting a little mean and I started feeling very uncomfortable watching them. So I am into the feeds, but I'm finding it a little difficult to watch some of the people left. If there was a show of Kevin talking about Boston, I'd be down, and Josh is starting to grow on me, which I never thought I'd say. But Alex just got too mean. I wanted to root for her, but she's just, don't kick people when they're down. Mark said that tonight, and I agree.
Well, Mark also said that Josh is growing on him as well in his eviction interview. I thought that was very interesting. We'll get to that later, though. Yes. Let's start talking about this episode. We do get a little bit of gameplay footage. That's basically the only gameplay footage we got in the entire episode. We started off with Paul talking with Christmas and Josh, talking about how he wants to team up with Christmas and Josh. This is the Paul mastermind edit. He's teaming up with these two. He wants to pin the other two couples against each other. And, he talks to Matt and Raven. They say, we're going after Alex and Jason. He talks to Alex and Jason. They're like, we're going after Matt and Raven. And Paul's just like, I'm the best. Aren't I the best, Aubrey?
Just a shootout. It's just a shootout. And I've been listening to you guys every day, and kind of I think it was Rob who said, how does he not get caught talking to all these pairs? It's hard enough on Survivor talking to people individually. I don't know how Paul is pulling it off. How are these pairs not skeptical of what's going on? It blows my mind. It's a house. It's not outside. Hear it out. Oh my God.
Right. And that's the thing. It's when people get into the argument about Survivor is harder, it's well, from a physical standpoint, absolutely. And from, a psychological standpoint, and, you can definitely argue there's a lot of elements where Survivor is without a doubt harder. But I think you raise a really good point, which is when everyone has to focus on making sure there's wood so there's a fire so people can eat today and just, you know, drink water that's not sanitary so you have to boil it and just all these things that you have to be constantly doing, there's less time to really think about who's with who. I mean, that's what you're there for. You know you have to be doing it, but there's these other things that are requirements for you to live that right. Big Brother, man, your whole job is just to pay attention. That's all you have.
I mean, that's the part that I would never be able to play is because I'd feel like claustrophobic in there. Yeah. But yeah, it's you're right. It's a lot of nothing. And it's a lot of in a close space, like too many vibes in one space. I think I'd go out the door. I'd go right out the door a la Megan, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like they do have to get a lot of napping in. Obviously, they have to wash dishes occasionally. So I feel like it's somewhat comparable in terms of things you have to do. But yes, Paul really seems to be in control of the game here. They're starting to give him even more of a mastermind edit. He talks about how he's had this undercover relationship with Alex for a long time. But sorry, Alex, you're too good of a competitor. I can't take it to the final two. I don't want to come in second again. I mean, Aubrey, is this, do you think that this is the correct decision by Paul to turn his back on Alex here?
In a way, I think Alex is a big threat to Paul in that she's playing the game, if people respect that. But I also think she has alienated more people than people realize. I mean, Kevin doesn't really have the best relationship with anymore. She's attacked Kevin. She's attacked Cody. The people on the jury right now, I don't see them going for her whatsoever. So I think it might be smart for him to keep Alex around as a little bit of a pad going a little further in the game in case Matt and Raven wake up, which probably won't happen, and Christmas and Josh figure this out. Like, Josh is a fan of this game. I think he might figure it out. But I think he needs to hold her a little bit longer.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying on the morning updates for a little while that we feel like Josh is perhaps the Steve Moses of this season. He could very easily turn out to be the one that that robs Paul of the win right at the end. And I could very easily see that happening. I think that Paul might be underestimating Josh and overestimating Alex in many ways. And I do agree. I think that taking Alex down toward the end, maybe not the very end, but toward the end would be very beneficial to his game. Alex, what do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's a lot of reasons that, you know, there's a lot of reasons for what you're talking about. And I think, you know, most notably, the reason that he thinks, you know, he needs to get rid of her and keep Josh is like competitions and stuff, which like down the stretch, I mean, some of them are very, very winnable for people that are, you know, on top of competitions, but some of them are kind of random. Like, there's not necessarily going to be like a huge edge for Alex over Josh, I think, in some of these competitions. So I think he's like you talked about, he's definitely overestimating that element. And then, yeah, what Alex is bringing, like, he's worried about her as a threat, but I mean, her threatening, the level of threat that she poses really is like alienating a lot of people. Cause like you talked about Kevin, but also, I mean, like, you know, she is like pretty, you know, and Matt and Raven are kind of oblivious to it still, but sooner or later they're going to realize Alex doesn't like them at all. And she's going to stop even, she's really not even pretending now,
she
but somehow they don't.
Yeah. She doesn't know how to hide it.
And she, you know, like she was really like picking fights with Mark on his way out. She's picking fights with Cody on his way out. So when all is said and done, she's not going to be a threat with this jury. And I don't think Paul is looking at the right things. He's thinking about like, who can I beat physically? And that's not what we're doing here. That's not the win condition of this game.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do think we did see that there is some hope that that somebody can beat Paul, because we saw a competition here between Paul and Kevin. I believe it was called a goose fight, something along those lines. Seems very strategic, but it seemed to me like Kevin, he'd completely dominated Paul in this competition, right, Aubrey?
Yeah, I think that if you get the floaties out, I think that Kevin could have a shot. Yeah, that's like street fighting. I mean, he's tough. He's from Dorchester, Mission Hill, wherever he's from. I mean, I don't go there at night, so
I mean, truly beat Paul at his own game. I mean, where's Pablo when you need him?
I know.
He's getting his ass beat by Kevin.
And this is just like the kind of thing that is the reason they're like threatened by, the reason Paul's threatened by Kevin. Because relative to everyone else who poses like no threat at all, Kevin, they're like, oh, he must watch this show. He's strategic. But really, he's just got like basic street strategy, like his strategy of like, the one who throws a punch first usually wins the fight. Like, that's not something you, that's the kind of strategy you just pick up through life. You don't need to watch a show. You don't need to read a book. You just live a life. And like, that's the kind of thing that they're accusing him of being like a secret mastermind for, I feel like right now.
I mean, in some ways, he's got the biggest personality. I think he is. He's so all alone. I think I said the other day, he was like an alien without a planet. He's like a nice guy. He can't find his planet. And I just wish people would pick him up and use him. Like, what is it with people not wanting to take singles? I have never seen anything like this. Like, if you have two and you have two and you have one, three against two, it's not that hard. Take Kevin. He can feel like, even though Kevin doesn't always vocalize it, you can see on his face when he's like, something is wrong here. Like, he is. He's very street smart and he can sense when something's off and he knows he's not in right now. So pick him up. Take him. Yeah, but not too far, because I'd vote for Kevin to win.
Taryn, we had Michelle from last season on the podcast last night. I think this is about the time last year that the house like flipped on Polly Calafiore, right? And at that point, like, you kind of had this threesome with James and Natalie, and like Michelle is at the third wheel. And like at eight, like a solid three is very powerful. Like, they really were kind of in position, it seemed like to us at that point, to really like ride that like potentially all the way to the end, and they came really close. So, you know, I think it is kind of like this is the point where it's like he wants to be that third for Alex and Jason, and it's just very bizarre that Alex has kind of spent like the back half of this week really like accusing Kevin and questioning Kevin and calling him sketchy, and it's just like she doesn't want that benefit in the game right now. I don't know, I guess she's afraid of the target. Well, she's just not thinking, she's just thinking about like her and Paul as the end game.
It makes no sense. Like the jury management thing. I mean, I know I'm told I don't have the best social game. You say I don't have a good social game and Paul thinks Alex can win. Maybe he should watch Survivor, because none of these people are thinking about how they take people out of the game. I know you guys were talking about this, but they're either like super mean, or even Paul is like, I'm going to work on my jury speech, like my speeches before people go out. And it's just like so heavy handed. It's like, sorry that I verbally assaulted you the other day, Mark, but you're my buddy. I'm going to miss you like doing quad lifts with me. Like, it's so weird. These people are not thinking. They need mirrors so badly. Like, I think that should be a reward or whatever they call it on the show. Like, you get to watch 10 minutes of yourself on TV. Maybe that would change it.
And then Mark went out in such like a, you know, classy, like just nonplussed way. Like, and he did try this week. I give him credit. He didn't roll over and die. He did what he felt like he could. And then, he went out like, he treated it like a game. It's just, I feel like a lot of people are just like playing their life in that house. They're not really,
it's bizarro world.
About like, oh, this is a game and I can do things.
We saw this this segment with Mark campaigning to stay in the house. He talks to Jason about taking Matt out. Then he talks to Kevin, who seems like maybe he's on board. And then goes to Alex. And that's when you can sort of tell that things might not be going his way. And then he's talking to Paul, and Paul's just like shaking his head as he's in the diary room, pretending that he's not shaking his head. I don't know how effective this was in terms of like misleading people, but it didn't seem particularly effective to me. I mean, it was solid effort from Mark. He did try, but this was really never gonna go anywhere, right, Aubrey?
Oh no, I mean, it's too late. I think that's the thing. I think a lot of people, I think like you said, people have been playing their lives out in this house, and the few people who have realized it's a game have started playing it like a game, like they're at the merge, and they did none of the pre-merge work to have the solid relationships you need going in. Sorry, I know this isn't Survivor, but that's my framework.
No, I feel like we're getting a different perspective here. So I like it.
I think it's a good analogy too, because you're right. I mean, it's, you know, we've seen this every week, basically, right? Like we saw it, I mean, as early as when Cody leaves the first time, and then with Dominique, and then with Jess, and with Cody again. It's like these people are isolated out, you know, as an individual against the house. And they're like, why can't I get any traction? Why can't these people see that Paul is, you know, controlling them, that he's running this, that he's the mastermind? But it's because, you know, they don't do any of like the legwork that you're talking about, building and fostering relationships, until it's necessary. I mean, Dominique had done a good job with Mark and with a couple people, and we thought she was positioned pretty well because it looked like she was in the dominant alliance among Cody's, you know, major group, which seemed like it would guarantee her the merge. Or sorry, right. Now I'm talking like you. Seemed like it would guarantee her a jury until, you know, obviously that whole thing imploded. But yeah, I mean, once you have that big group and you have a position of like good relationships within that big group, I mean, that should set you up to go far. The thing is, she really had that with Mark and not really anyone else. And so she wasn't able to do anything when she was sent out. And then Mark talked about, like, you know, my relationship with Cody, my relationship with Dominique, that's what he had. So, I mean, he just, you know, few people that these people kind of worked with, they just, you know, kind of got removed one at a time. And now you've just got, I mean, pretty much people that aren't going to be looking to do much until it's their time. I think it's we'll see. It could get interesting, but it might not be anytime too soon. I don't think.
If this was a Survivor season,
chairs gone wrong. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
No, what would this season be called if it was a Survivor season? Since we're using so many Survivor references here, like Big Brother non game changers or something. Like I don't know.
Well, it'd be like, you know, Redemption Island 2, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Son of Redemption Island.
Reminds me of Game Changers a little bit, to be honest. Like, I think that Paul is very Sarah-like in the management of duos. And while he's taking them, she would take them out. So, but there's definitely gameplay revolving around duos, which I find interesting. Yes.
Interesting too, because that's how a large portion of last season turned out as well, with a lot of, it was basically a final six with three duos. And, you know, Paul obviously ends up on the short end of that stick, for the most part, at least. And I do feel like he's trying to correct that mistake. As you mentioned, Aubrey, he's talking about, like, he wants to improve his jury management. We talked about this a bit on the morning updates, where he's like, I've got a great goodbye message planned for Mark. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to do much better jury management this time. And then his, like, this is what he considers good jury management. It's like, oh, Mark, you aligned with the wrong people. I'm so sad to see you go. Put a good word in for me in the jury house, would you? Like, could you be more obtuse and obvious? Like, what are you thinking? This is your good, this is you learning from your mistake. You're going to, like, literally ask him to put a, like, good word in for you. I mean, this is ridiculous, right, Aubrey?
It was so heavy handed. It was so tacky. I don't know what was worse, him or Matt saying that he was calling himself a loser. But yeah, if someone said that to me, you guarantee that, unless you're sitting next to someone pretty bad, that would totally turn me off.
Yeah.
And that's the last thing you see. You remember what you see right before you go. I don't think it matters what game you're playing. How the person makes you feel the day of, and then when you're sitting next to them, really impacts your vision when you come out of the game in the first 24 hours, which then impacts how you see, like, the whole responsibility of being on the jury, I would say.
Yeah. And he's even been doing a poor job in the house prior to Mark leaving. He was arguing with Mark about, like, no, I'm in the right when I bash Cody. I should be able to bash Cody. And Mark is like, that seems unfair to me. Obviously, Mark is just going to run that back to Cody. Like, yeah, Paul is still obsessed with you. And he gave me this tacky goodbye message. Like, I don't know. I kind of do feel like, you know, say what you want about Josh, but at least he stays in character in the goodbye message. And it's kind of fun. Paul was just like sleazy salesman. And that was just kind of gross. Right, Alex?
Yeah, I don't get it. I think there's, you know, he's torn, right? Like, there's the part of him that's left. Paul is like, you know, he's like most people where he's emotional. He's definitely more emotional, I think, that, like, there's been a lot of comparisons of him to, like, a lot of these, like, masterminds that have really run houses or games in the past. And I think the thing that really does separate him from, you know, Derek and like a Boston Rob is he's much less calculated and much more emotional, and things are working out for him, but I don't know that he really had like a multi-step plan of how to get there. I think he's kind of like pleasantly surprised that things are working out. And I think, you know, he's someone that is prone to lashing out, and like, he's kind of torn because he wants to play a good game and he wants to do the right things. And he knows that people vote in the end, and then that's something that's important. But then at the same time, like, he's a 24-year-old kid who's like really excited that this is somehow working out, that he's a veteran. That's like, you know, this is all going so well. It's pretty amazing. And I think it's pretty hard for him to restrain himself in these moments from gloating a little bit, because like, at his core, that's kind of who he is. Like, that's why they brought him back. That's Paul.
Well, I mean, Aubrey, how difficult is it to anticipate the jury and what they're thinking and try to influence them as you play the game? I mean, as somebody who played Survivor and had experience with a jury, like what is that process even like?
It's tough, because in the first position I was in, I was very behind on the eight ball going in. I was super on the bottom. I know people have decisions about, it's controversial, like the decisions I made, but you do make your decisions based on what you're seeing on any given day in a time and a place. And I've talked a lot about this with people like Zeke about how in Game Changers, for instance, everybody, and I'm sure it's the same in Big Brother, you would be sitting there constantly assessing, who is my final three right now? Who is my final three right now? Who is my final three in an hour? Who's my final three tomorrow? And it's like this very, when you're there, it's this very like in the moment thing. But what you can't account for is like the trajectory that people take as you go through the jury experience. Like, Michelle became an underdog at a certain point. She was in power for a while. She hadn't gone to tribal until day 21. She was very under the radar. And then all of a sudden, she was like this feisty engine that could. So it can be really hard. So in that way, like, I rag on these people for not having self-awareness, but I do empathize with them in that I would not want to be most of these people when they get out of this house. It is going to be painful. And I, like, my soul can't believe that they're all this delusional. Like, they think they are doing the right thing for their game in the moment, even though it's like, oh no, you're not. It's hard. It's hard.
Yeah, well, I can see Josh becoming this sort of figure that does, you know, craft a new storyline for himself, because I think all of them view Josh in the way that everyone viewed Josh in the start of the game, which was he's a mess, he's a wreck. Like, he can't possibly win this game. He's banging pots and pans. He's like crying left and right, like screaming at the cameras, like, I'm a human being. Like, how can this guy win the game? But now that jury has hit, he is crafting a different narrative for himself. And I don't know if Paul or really anybody left in that house is recognizing it, which is why I think he could be a very, like a sleeper candidate to win this game, right?
I think he could. I really do. I think he could. That's a really risky move. Like, I had a panic attack on the second day and I wasn't able to pull away from that because of the people I was with. There do seem to be people like Christmas who really feel like a kinship with Josh because he is emotional. And I think it might be also because there are so many mean people and Josh has done his fair share of mean, but he also is like very relatable in that I'm sure they all want to burst out crying. Like, I saw Christmas is crying by herself, for instance. Like, they're all feeling these emotions. So maybe even though he makes a fool of himself and he's kind of like the jester or the clown, Josh kind of does things everyone wishes they could do, but just won't. And he's endearing in that way.
Yeah, and I think he goes out of his way to remind people, even after big blowups, like, you know, this is just a game. I love you outside of the house. We'll be bros. It'll be great. But this is just the game. And we see Mark echoing that statement with his interview with Julie. He's like, you know what? We had our thing in the game, but he's a great guy. Like, yes, it seems to be working.
It does. Maybe because he comes off a little more authentic than some of the others. Like, that definitely... Josh's blowups and then I'm sorry's do seem more genuine, even if they are like Jekyll and Hyde, than Paul's, oh, hey, put in a good word. Woo.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So we had a whole chat with Julie here. And this is when the episode basically goes from like we see a couple of scenes of like gameplay, quote unquote gameplay. And then we get like a very extended chat with Julie, a family segment, and then a lengthy like voting segment, and then like just multiple cuts to the HOH competition. There was really not a lot of meat in this episode.
Yeah, but, what are we going to do without knowing for sure what Whistle Nut's wife's take is on his gameplay this season? Yeah, we really need to know her strategic perspective.
They really wanted to milk that pregnancy thing. Like, the first, like, Julie's talking with them. She's calling Matt out for only wearing one shirt. I mean, that was kind of nice. I mean, Matt is becoming like one of the most self-aware characters on this show ever, because they keep telling him what his things are. Like, oh, now I only wear one shirt. Oh, I eat tons of cereal. I lose everything. I shower a lot. Like, he knows every single trope now. Like, what are we supposed to make fun of him for?
But also, this kind of like made me feel sad for Matt, which is surprising because I'm pretty irritated with Matt this season. Like, Julie calling him out there, like, from my understanding, he had a bunch of other shirts that like production wouldn't let him bring in because they had logos and stuff. So this is like a little bit like when you were a kid and some kid was like, ring that doorbell, you know, like dares you to go like ring somebody's doorbell and then went and like told on you for doing it. You know, it's like, this is production's fault that he only has the one shirt. Now production wants to like give him hell for it. That's not fair.
There was a little bit of like, well, it is my only sleeveless shirt, guys.
Yeah. I'm not allowed to call you out on your own show, but you're really asking for me to. Yeah.
Yes. Then we get Julie asks Kevin if you could have one thing from your family when you went HOH, what would you get? Some water, some bottled waters.
Oh, I feel him on that. I think I want that too.
Maybe on Survivor.
One of my biggest fears is running out of water in general in life. So I am with Kevin. That stuff probably tastes musty.
Yeah, Taryn, my understanding is, well, for starters, I mean, I use a Brita because my understanding is the water in the valley here is not, you know, the greatest.
Pretty good.
It's not as good as it was on the East Coast. That's at least what I've been told. And then, you know, on top of that, like, to get it from that sink. Have you seen that sink? Have you seen the way they treat that sink? You know, the navigation work you'd have to do to like part the sea of crusty dish.
It's a metaphor for the game, that
moldy
thing.
Plates. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I understand. Like, I basically only drink water. I understand the struggle, but she was asking for something a bit more sentimental, I think. And but it was such a perfect Kevin moment. Like, oh, some bottled water. Oh, and a nice letter would be great too, I guess. And then they really go to the pregnancy thing. They've been showing this on like every single episode, like previously on. Jason found out about his pregnant wife. And then Julia asks him again, like, what was it? What was the feeling? Aubrey, was this heartwarming to you?
So I did the first time I said that Whistle Nut was having a whistle nugget. It was very, very cute. Like, it was. I like Jason. He doesn't particularly rub me the wrong way. It's like, I like all these people in isolation to a degree, but not together. I was happy for him, but like, this is not, all right, we're not at final tribal yet. It's not time to wake out the pregnant wife. You're not in front of the Big Brother jury. It's just like too overdone. And I'm just glad to know that his wife is okay with Alex. So I guess all is right in the world.
Yeah. Well, imagine if they spent this much time on like Raven's illnesses and treated him seriously. Like, people would have their pitchforks out. Like, they really, really like milked this one. And like, not for nothing, but like, we heard like five or six times how great a dad Jason is. And you know, the only evidence I have, you know, to support or, you know, refute this is that he named his son Gatlin. And that's not a name. That's a weapon.
Town, right? Wait, isn't it a town or a city? Yeah.
I guess it could be that, but it's, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
It's wait, either a weapon or a city.
there's a Gatling gun that I'm just kind of.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know what it is. It's not a name. That's my point.
I got you.
Yeah, I agree. I think Jason, I mean, he's getting a fantastic edit. I mean, right from the beginning, he's always been getting a great edit. And I think he is a pretty lovable character. It's really like, again, take Paul's influence out of the house. And I think we have an entirely different cast, to be honest. Totally. But But yeah, you know, Jason, he has this this whole family segment here, and I was like, man, they're really pumping Jason up for him to get evicted next week. That's what's happening, clearly.
What are they going to do? Really, what are they going to do if it is Matt and Raven? Is Paul just going to narrate the whole last part of it? If it's like Matt, Raven, and Paul, like, what are they going to do? Like, Matt is the new purple edit. He's like the orange sleeveless. Like, what are they going to do with him? I don't know.
I think they'll start doing DRs with Paul, and they'll have, like, you know, in season two, they made them make little dolls of everyone. And I think they'll have Paul make a little doll of Matt and just be like, now I'm going to do this for Paul. And it'll just be Paul putting on a puppet show in the DR for the rest of the game. I feel like that's probably more compelling than what will actually happen.
Or they'll put the two of them in there on, like, kid leashes, and Paul can help them.
Raven barking.
It's your first trip to the mall. Woof, woof.
So yeah, we get this whole package on Jason's family, his wife.
It's Gatlin Holly. With a Y too, Taryn, like some kind of 80s metal band.
Look, sorry, I'll stop. Would you expect any better from a man who calls himself Whistlenut? Like,
yeah, no, you're right. This is a poor taste. I shouldn't pick on children. This is
And people make fun of the Taryn show. I feel like, you know, at least it's not the Whistlenut or Gatlin show, right?
Gatlin with a Y. Wow.
I thought this was a cute segment, even though this has nothing to do with the game, and you know, Jason is probably going to go home pretty soon. I thought it was cute.
Hearing her say that Alex is great for his game and that he needs Alex, and she's really keeping his head on straight. I'm like, not really.
At least she takes it in stride. You know, he calls her his BB wife. She was like, that's cute. And it didn't seem like she was being sarcastic, like I just sounded. And she's talking about, like, she's writing in her journal everything that's going on with Gatlin, so Jason can read it when he gets back. I thought that was cute. She got pregnant 5 days after he left, and they've been waiting to tell him all this time. I agree, Aubrey. I feel like he should have read the letter and then just kept it to himself and then waited until he didn't get to the final two. But if he did get to the final two, waited until then and been like, actually, guess what? In my HOH letter, I was told that my wife is actually pregnant. And then he wins unanimously. That's what happens, right?
Yeah, 10-0. Sweet.
Yeah.
There's precedent.
Yeah, totally. Then we get our eviction speeches. Matt, again, the most self-aware hated character on Big Brother, like, of all time. He says, guess what, guys? I'm an expert loser. And the entire audience is like, yeah, good job. You're right. And he is right. And if this had come from any other player, I would have been like, man, he's really selling himself to, like, be like, this is a great pitch to everyone. I'm so bad at this game.
I was thinking that.
But the problem is that he actually is that bad at the game. It's crazy.
Like the bizarro Dan Gheesling. I was thinking about this earlier. Like, Terrence should love what he's doing, but he's just saying things. And, like, he's way overselling it too. Like Aubrey was talking about earlier. Like, it's just so in your face. Like how like Josh saw it. It's like, you know, how Josh saw Evil Dick with Pots and Pans and then just, like, ratcheted that up to 50. Like, that was mad. It's like he watched one Dan speech where he's just like, yeah, and plus I can't win. Like, you know, so keep me around. Like, from season 10, like, the thing that just kept working for him. And he did that. But he's like, but no, really, I suck so bad. And everyone's like, yeah, no, we get it. But no, I don't think you do, though. Like, it's.
And he's telling the truth. Like, he does. I don't know how many more times he can talk about the cereal thing in his eviction.
It's really bad.
Yeah. It's not as bad as Elena, like, continually failing to mimic Dominique week after week, but, you know, it's something. And then Mark has a great speech.
It's not easy to dribble the ball back.
It's not easy to conjure false.
Yeah, something about a false.
Hold on, guys. I'm trying to make fun of something right now. I'm trying to. Okay.
There's something that I lack. It's a false shack.
Don't be talking talk like smack.
This is too good. All right. So then, yes, Mark has a great speech. Very, very humble, very great, grateful to be in the house. He made fun of Cody's speech, which I thought was funny. Like, oh, I got to say something. Jason, they've been talking about you and they're all right. You're a great guy. Yeah. So that was pretty fun.
Moment.
Yeah, totally. And then Mark is just all over the place in his interview with Julie. He's just like, yeah, I was thinking about doing this one thing. And Cody, I mean, Cody is just such a Cody. And he, I mean, I ruined my game, Cody. He seems so nervous. Aubrey, I don't know what he was doing.
I'm going to say, I thought I found him to be more well-spoken than most people. Cause there's something so innocent and real about Mark. That's what I like about him. And I think I'm so like over these abrasive and then characters who think they're really witty. And it's like, no, you're not. I appreciated it. It was heartfelt. And I thought he was classy and I liked his red shirt. I thought he looked real spiffy and I hope it works out with Elena. Because I thought the Zingbot was way too mean to him last night. So unnecessary.
you weren't Josh in the diary room?
No.
No. I did like that, like Julie just kept trying to push this idea. Like, Mark, why were you such a floater in the house? Like, why did you just float to power all the time?
She really laid it on him there.
He was like, I played terribly.
Yeah. Were you loyal to anyone in this game, Mark?
Jesus.
Wow, Julie.
He's so sweet.
even Julie punches Mark.
And I was wondering if Julie was reading Aubrey's Twitter from the other day, because Aubrey had that tweet about everyone is like, seems like everyone's talking about going on Amazing Race these days, and sure enough, like Julie was like, yeah, you and Josh, Amazing Race. What do you think about that?
Don't perpetuate that, man. Yeah. I mean, unless
really I'm leaning into it.
Money, it's hilarious.
It is like, it is more of a thing now than it ever will be at this point with Julie saying it on the show.
Hey, well, if the ratings are hurting, I mean, they really might go down that route because, you know, basing this on absolutely nothing, I have to guess that the highest rated episode of Candy Crush to date is probably still the first one with the Survivor and Big Brother people.
Oh, I'm sure.
Smoke Cowboy was on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like, he played with Aubrey. We need to watch.
Yeah.
Then we get our HOH competition. It's an endurance comp. This seemed very unfair to me because it feels like Alex obviously has an advantage having dealt with so many wieners. Obviously, Raven also has an advantage there. It seemed unfair, right, Alex?
I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. This is a long time coming. We knew there was going to be some kind of thing like this.
With wieners.
With hanging somethings. They always have something. Is it a popsicle? Is it, we're going to dangle. That's what we're going to do at some point this season. We're going to dangle from something and either, you know, this time it's condiments. I was saying, you know, I tweeted something about like, you know, and it was funny that like that's how boring this season has been. That like usually we segue on some kind of good note. Like when we come back, we're going to have fireworks erupt as so and such is learned and a bombshell goes up. But this time it's like, we come back, we're going to throw some shit on them and see how that works out. You know, like they just put some condiments on there. That's like the segue that she had. It's really just, she's really just spread very thin these days, Julie Chen.
It should have been a meatball sub.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Come on. I was very confused when they started spraying water on them. I was like,
yeah. Now it's raining at the ballpark. Uh-oh, there's a lot of pigeons that have been eating food at the ballpark, and now they're all fat, and here they come to poop on you, because that's what we always do also.
Yeah.
Did you guys notice that I had a question. They're throwing the mustard, and it was like certain people were getting the condiments first. That didn't seem fair to me.
It's basically never even. Like sometimes on the wall,
science.
They get like constant sprays in the face, and like some people will just get like drenched, and other people will get nothing. It's not particularly
like a little
bad
line across the shirt, and you look over, and they've just got like full just blast in the face.
It's weird.
Not fair.
All right, let's get into some questions. The HOH competition apparently is already over, so we will get into spoilers pretty soon, but we'll answer a few questions first. Starting with, this isn't a question, actually. This is the Gatling gun. is, I guess Scott looked up the Gatling gun on Wikipedia for us.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It was a big deal in, like, you know, the Wild West, which I feel like Jason is a fan of.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe, don't you have to be to be a rodeo something or other? Like a rodeo anything. Don't you have to be like, yeah, the West is cool.
Be a whistle yeah. nut. A whistle nut. Yeah. I want him to meet JT. I want JT and Jason together.
Yeah. They should do that. The Amazing Race.
Reality rally. I would
love that. They can sing the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack and get yelled at to stop singing.
All right.
That's a great soundtrack.
We have a question from Joanna Dent on Twitter who asks, can you think of any past season that Julie has had such a long and boring conversations with the house guests like she did tonight? Well, if you listened to But First, a Big Brother 2 documentary, you would have heard us talk about our many experiences watching Julie's long chats with the Big Brother 2 house guests. But I don't know. This did seem like the longest one in recent memory, Alex.
Yeah, well, it's tough, right? I mean, he wasn't exactly really elaborating on much because I think, you know, you were talking about, like, I think a lot of what's really going on there is he doesn't really know what caused his downfall in the game. He's like, well, I think Cody did it, but then, you know what? It was Dominique. But you know what? Also, it was me, you know, hedging my bets. But you know what? And it's like, yeah, dude, it was a lot of things. That's right. It wasn't any one thing. Much as it always is in life. Like, it's very rarely any one thing. It's usually a combination of things. And I think, you know, that his, you know, lack of a read on the house, the fact he couldn't, like, get any headway in with people. I mean, he's really not, like, super prepared to answer these questions right now. And then also, he's not exactly like the most eloquent guy, which speaks to kind of why he's in this trouble in the first place. Anytime anyone brought like a case to him, it's like, Mark, you said this and this and this about me, and like had sub points, he was like, like he didn't know what to do.
Rob Gronkowski of Big Brother.
Yeah, he's that's great. He really is. I mean, he had no play for these kinds of like debate moments. So yeah, you wouldn't expect him to be like the most eloquent person to interview. And she is hitting him with these like elaborate questions about like, now, you know, when this happened and, you know, once Cody went out, did you think like you positioned like, and again, he's just like, he just doesn't know what to do in these spots.
I really think that these people are so scrambled in the head from all the emotional drama that they literally just, I mean, I think that's the most genius part of this game, that Paul is executed. He knows how to control chaos in a way that nobody else in that house can do. And I feel like he knows how to like target them. It's like whatever's in Harry Potter where they erase your brain. It's like he scrambles their brains and they can't play. I really think that's part of it. Mark was crying and like reading the Bible the last day, and he was like totally in a sad place trying to get better. I don't think he's like even thinking game.
Yeah, well, you know, Paul is the sole veteran here, and we've talked a lot about how he is doing very, very well in this house of all new players. Right. But how much is being a vet an advantage here? I mean, obviously, when you played Survivor again, you were playing with all other returning players as well, so you don't know to a full extent. But like going back your second time, you know a lot more, right? Like you have a lot more experience.
Yeah, it was bad for me, though. There were four of us for my season, and I was enemy number one. I was kind of like the Cody in the season. I kind of felt that way. So I don't know. I think it's this combination of people is just really good for Paul. He really he knows how to manage each one very well. So I don't know. I think being of I also heard you guys talking about how if people have been voted out, they understand how people or evicted, how people then understand how they're making people feel. Even though Paul is making some flubs in terms of the like over like the Hallmark goodbye messages, in the moment in the house, he knows how to make people feel included and safe and having fun when they're away from home. So that worked the first time, and I think he's taken that over and done that really well.
All right. Let's get to another question here from Johnny DeSilvera. Were the two votes on Matt allowed by Paul? Did Jason and Alex go rogue? This is an interesting thing to talk about because it's kind of unclear where these votes came from. Yeah. Or why they happened. Julie mentioned that Jason made a late push to save Mark, which like maybe he did that, but it didn't seem like they thought that they were going to save him for sure. Like, maybe this was just sympathy votes, but like, that's kind of sketchy. Aubrey, do you have any idea? Because I don't think Alex or I have any idea.
No, I'm a little confused, and I'm worried for Jason that might not have been the best move. Like, he could sense enough for him to vote Matt. He sensed that Raven and Matt are coming at him. And now we just kind of declared war in my mind, because you're not going to be able to hide that with only those people there. So maybe this is somebody waking up finally and saying, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do something.
All right.
I hope so.
Yeah. I don't know. I would be surprised. I would be surprised if anything is happening without Paul's authorization. I mean, feeds are down for so long before an eviction episode. Like, there's a lot of time for them to do a dry run and stuff
like
that.
Hold on hope that they're going rogue and breaking the system.
Well, I mean, either way, I mean, I think they will be, but you know, we could talk about, Well, let's get into the spoilers.
Well, I mean, that's
the spoilers.
All right. Well, yeah, let's get into spoilers here. You know, people are clamoring for it. So if
chat room is feisty.
Yeah, if you're leaving us now, we will be back tomorrow with a live feed update. We also make sure you check out the Bachelor in Paradise podcast on the wrap ups. My podcast, the American Ninja Warrior podcast. We just released the Kansas City episode. We've also got the challenge going on. Eric talked about that on the Taran show. He talked about how he consults for them. And then of course, check out Survivor Australia. Nick Iadanza is doing a great job on the Know-It-Alls. Of course, we will be back tomorrow morning at noon Eastern to talk about everything that goes down on the feeds today. And then this is an update for you. We have no Sunday show on Sunday night because the Game of Thrones finale will be airing. So we're actually going to double up the Monday morning update with a recap and an update. So Rob will be on that one on Monday morning. So make sure you check that out. So let's get into the spoilers. Again, I'm sorry, I don't have a song for you. I could like pretend sing it, but nobody wants that.
I should play again that sad theme from The Incredible Hulk. Mark's
theme.
His eulogy tune.
Oh. All right. We're back from here we go. We got the spoilers. Alex, who has won the HOH?
Whistlenut. Gatlin stayed up late for this one.
Yay! I like him. I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. This is basically best case scenario probably for the audience.
I don't have to worry about any kind of fallback on those votes now.
Yeah, I don't think Matt's getting to those 1,000 bowls of cereal at this point. What do we think Jason is going to do, Aubrey?
I'm going to be positive and say he's going to take Kevin and they're going to take a shot at Paul or Christmas. No, he's not. He's going to take out Matt. Let me guess, is he going to backdoor Matt? Because that's all we do this season is backdoor people.
Luckily for him, Matt has volunteered to be a pawn now like 3 times and still seems to think like, well, I'll do it this time, but next time it's someone else's turn, by God. You know, he's just like this good Samaritan, and it's not a good idea in this game. I do feel like, yeah, he'll probably put up Matt and Raven. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be boring. But you know what? Once Raven realizes that the house is against them now, that won't be boring. That should be.
No, that will be fun. That'll be a disaster.
What the hell's going on?
You want to see Ark and Sassy? Ark and Sassy.
I mean, this is not great for Paul, because obviously Jason was his next target and he really wanted Jason out this week. Obviously he's going to have to go to his alternative plan here, which is take Matt out. And I mean, this is a tricky situation. The plan was if Alex or Jason win the HOH, they are going to, pretend that Kevin is the backdoor target when they put up Matt and Raven. But I'm seeing in the chat again, I'm sorry, I wasn't able to check out the feeds myself as I was busy hosting this podcast. But people are telling me that Matt was very angry during the HOH competition. So it sounds like maybe Raven was as well. So they could already be set off to some degree that that Alex and Jason and or Jason were you know, able to win the HOH, and they might already be seeing that maybe they're in trouble, which would not be good for Paul, because he has been like in their ear all week long that we need to get out Jason. We need to get out Jason. If that gets back to Jason and he believes it, Paul could be in trouble. Brent says they're irritated, not angry. I don't know. I don't know the difference. Aubrey, what's the difference?
Irritated, I think, is better if we want to get out Paul, if there's a possibility to get out Paul, because it lingers longer than being angry. Angry is just an explosion. Irritated, you can like really like that sand in the oyster that makes a pearl. They can grow that pearl all week. Get out Paul.
All right. Grow a pearl. Hashtag grow a pearl. That might be our hashtag.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Better arc and sassy. That was pretty catchy too. I feel like you could slap that one, slap you that on a t-shirt, make you some money.
Zing. I'll take it.
Brent giving us live feed updates in the chat. He wasn't yelling. He was just speaking loudly and was irritated, incredulous, actually. And
so what? He just like needs a shower and a nap? Like,
yeah, I don't know. Brent, can you tell us what he was yelling and or speaking loudly about?
I'm cranky.
He wasn't wearing his shirt. His vibe is off. His vibe is off. Yeah, it's messed up his whole vibe. And Mercury's in retrograde. He's screwed.
And Raven's cooked like a really, really gross looking dinner for like the last however.
Oh, those burgers? Oh.
Yeah.
Followed it up with some taco meat tonight that looked awfully suspect.
I feel like he must have been up in that bun the whole time, just thinking about like, man, my shirt. I'm so self-conscious now. I just need to get down and take my shirt off. Brent says he was mad that Alex and Jason would not make a deal because he wanted to go inside. So maybe not the game-changing kind of anger that we were hoping for.
Come on.
We should have known better.
Backyard.
I'm feeling very self-conscious about my shirts, and I need to find comfort in a bowl of cereal. Why don't you just get off?
No, I think he loved that. I think he was really excited. Like, oh, I have another thing. I thought my only thing was cereal. Like, they just totally. I'll bet you next episode we get like two or three DRs where he's like, "Hey, America, I'm wearing my shirt. What do you think about that?"
You know what they should do at the end of the season? They should put the entire cast on a Wheaties box. It's orange like the shirt. And just say like the most plain cereal you've ever had. Hashtag BB19. Like, wouldn't that be great?
It really goes against their method or message of like being a champion, though.
Yeah, I guess. Fine. You're right. But it's kind of a boring cereal.
It is. I feel like Matt's next eviction speech is going to be, guys, don't you want to see me wear more than one shirt? I need to get all my shirts out at some point. And, you know, they're actually going to vote him out because he's probably going home this week.
Yeah, they should get their picture on like one of those, like, you know, the cereal that's like too cheap to come in boxes. It comes in bags. Like, get their picture on one of those big bags of cereal.
Those puff ones.
Yeah.
Brent says Matt also brought up the two votes against him while the comp was happening. Definitely annoyed about it. So, but he's probably just annoyed at Alex and Justin. But so let's get back to this conversation about these two votes, actually, because there are two instances here where it's basically like either Paul was in on this and like was okay with the fact that Alex and Jason were going to vote Matt out, or he didn't know. And either way, like, it means that Jason and Alex felt like capable of doing something without Paul, which is a good sign. Or Paul was in on this, which I think is a huge mistake because there's no reason to be. And now Alex and Jason have a ton of ammunition to use against him with Matt and Raven. Like, actually, Paul told us this was okay. And Matt and Raven are going to be, why would Paul be okay with that? That doesn't sound right to us at all. So, you know, either way, this was not a good look for Paul, and not a great outcome for Paul tonight in the HOH competition either. Alex, are we looking, are we seeing a brighter day upon us? Is the eclipse gone?
Maybe. It could be interesting. You know, I mean, this is the point in the season where, I mean, we've talked about it before, but it's like, you know, when we saw what, like maybe 3-4 weeks ago. And then it was even delayed by Cody coming back and, you know, the fact that nothing really changed there. He didn't try to change up his social game or really, you know, no real wave was made, no major impact aside from just the halting hex, which again, just kind of delayed the inevitable and dragged this out. But I mean, we did say there would come a point where there's few enough people in the house where like you almost can't help but compare notes. Like, how can you not, you know, and Kevin is saying, which is absurd, that like me and Matt never talk. You know, there's 8 people left. How can any of these people be someone you're never talking to? That's just mind-boggling. But you would think at a point people do start to talk. And Paul, I mean, he really has. And I think the diary room that he had tonight was kind of an example where he's saying, you know, I'm getting like everything I want right now. The control I have in this game is such that I can make anything happen that I want to make happen. And that is like almost hubris, right? Yeah. That's almost a degree of like he's not wrong, but his certainty in how right he is reminds me of like the kid with like a big handful of candy who goes back in to get a bigger handful and ends up losing all the candy. You know, like he's just got maybe a little too small a hand and a little too much candy. And we might start to see some stuff slip because it's not like he has everything else on lockdown, which like that's how he's been able to survive up to this point, right? It's like, it's okay that Cody hates me and is trying to poison me because I have everyone else on lockdown. It's okay that that's true with Mark because I have everyone else on lockdown. But Kevin is like not 100% on lockdown right now. You know, like you talked about how like Raven will not be like, I don't think Raven's just going to lay down the way a Mark or someone else lay down. Like she's going to be, you know, up in arms. And, you know, I think that would be directed at Paul. So, I mean, this could be a very different kind of a week than we've seen in the past. I mean, it really just kind of remains to be seen. Although it's entirely possible, too, that Matt just won't care. And he'll just be like, calm down. It's not worth us, you know, getting upset about it. Don't worry about it.
This
we'll
is
look up a jury and then, you know,
yeah,
what happens from there.
This is the trickier part of Paul's game plan, right? Because it's when he's playing both sides, when he's playing Matt and Raven and Alex and Jason against each other, now that they're taking shots at each other, it's very difficult to play that correctly. Because if he's not properly outraged at the fact that Matt or Raven is going to go home this week, they're going to be like, why aren't you standing up for us? Why do you seem pleased at this outcome? And that's when you go, wait, maybe I should start comparing notes. But if he's too angry, then Alex and Jason get a little weirded out. Like, why are you acting pissed at us that we're doing the plan? So far, Paul has been doing pretty well at being like, look, I need to act a certain way. But it gets to a point where it starts to be a little sketchy if they have any brains at all, which granted, they probably don't. But this is the part of the game that starts to get a little tricky, and we'll see how Paul is going to handle it. I do have some breaking news. Apparently, Matt has, in fact, started eating cereal as soon as the feeds came back. So,
well, I heard he made a sandwich, so that's why he really wanted to get. I mean, he must have been really hungry. I mean, have to go full sandwich. But then also they got the they got the half size table. They removed the, you know, big full size kitchen table and replaced it with like the little 8-seater. So we're at that checkpoint of the game. You know, it does exemplify what we're talking about, where there's, you know, if you look around, there's less people to talk to. Like, there's really no excuse for you not to be checking in with everybody at this point.
I think it will happen even if it's not intentional, like in anger. I could see Alex doing her like, so this is why I did this, Raven, or Raven saying, so why did you do that? And Alex saying, well, Paul told me you were gunning at us.
Yeah, Alex is not really good with tact, right? And she is emotional, and she does say these things that, like, you know, in the heat of the moment, like, not even in the heat of the moment, she was totally calm and was like, yeah, Chase is my ride or die. Like, you know,
I think Alex could be, he has to put her back up even if they veto, so never mind.
Yeah, but I mean, it is possible that, I mean, she is very, like, foot and mouth to me, where, like, it really hasn't been tested because, like, there's not a lot that she really has had to protect. Like, yeah. Paul doesn't really let her in on, you know, he compartmentalizes her and doesn't let her know more than she needs to know. And she seems fine with that. But there's going to, if Raven starts, because Raven thinks she has a friendship with Alex. That's the other thing here. Like, Raven really, like Jess yesterday was talking about, I feel like we're like sisters and stuff. And Paul was laughing at Christmas about like how untrue that is. So, I mean, I think it's interesting. I mean, we really could see, I don't know. Remains to be seen.
Yeah, somebody in the chat said something that really cracked me up. BB Freak said, "Big Mark leave, big table leave." Yeah.
Aww. Yeah.
He didn't take a lot of space, that guy. He's like the guy you get rid of in Survivor just because you're like, well, I mean, he does eat a lot of calories.
He ate them out of House and Home when he was not a have-not. They were very upset about
it. You shouldn't be running out of food in Big Brother. That's not a thing there. That's for Survivor time.
These people complain about food. It drives me nuts.
Well, you know, that's look, they sometimes they have to eat peanut butter and jelly. Sometimes they have to eat like, you know, things that aren't quite as desirable as, you know, their regular food.
I miss voting on alliteration foods like candy canes and cod. They used to do that. That was for have nots and stuff.
Someone mentioned that, I think, in Big Brother 14.
So it was a weird alliteration combination.
Yeah. In Big Brother 14, one of the have nots foods was cereal. So Matt would have really enjoyed it.
What was it? Cereal and something?
Salmon? Cereal and coconuts or something.
I think it was salmon.
Almond milk.
Isn't it usually sounds or is it always letters that they use?
I don't know.
I miss it, Taryn. I want it to come back. It was always fun. And they would just like pile it up on the table, like heaps of fish with like candy cane sticking out of its mouth. And everyone's like, well, it's this or slop. Better make some sushi. Like, it's always good.
Look, I know the Survivor players, they love to rag on the Big Brother players, but I feel like we can't undersell the hardships of being in the Big Brother house. You know, it's they really do. They have to deal with ants. There was even a rat in the house, Aubrey.
I know.
Can you imagine having to deal with a rat?
Yep, I would eat it. But I mean, really. No, but I will say, like, as much as it's been really weird because I never like to be a backseat player. And like watching this, I get so frustrated with these people, but I also do admire them in that I would lose my cookies. Mm-hmm. I would go nuts. I need to see the sky. Like, I know they can go outside, but I'm like a free range chicken. Don't put me in a cage. I don't do the cage games. I need to stretch my legs.
That is the interesting thing that I think maybe is like a fundamental difference you have to make when casting this show as opposed to Survivor. It's like with Survivor, if you don't have enough alpha personalities, like people are going to starve and they're going to die. Like we need some go-getters out there who are going to make sure that water is available, even if not everyone's going to be on that page. And Big Brother, it's like, well, you know, we hook them up with everything. They really are like hamsters. They just go to the trough and take care of that.
Oh.
BJ Jones in the chat said, Andy was back in the house because there's a rat.
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
Good call.
No, I mean, I feel like you do have to try, because what else is there on this entire CBS lot that would like really draw? I guess there's probably craft service tables and stuff, but. Like that rat was attracted from a distance. That's a nice area.
From a distance. Oh, we can sing on this. We're not in the house.
No singing. All right, let's get into some questions here. We have one from Maureen on Twitter who asks, I'm like 90% sure now that Kevin doesn't know Raven's name. Yeah.
Well, I made the Rudy comparison before, where I was like, wouldn't it be funny if he just gets the finale? Because people talked about it. Like, Rudy didn't know the name of the people in Pagong, and they would have voted for him anyway. They talked about it. He'd been like, oh, Gretchel and Jervin, you guys were great. We had a great summer. And they would have given him their vote. So I think it would be amazing if Kevin was like the same way.
Franquesca?
Yeah, doesn't matter.
I'm pretty sure
for me, right?
I'm pretty sure he always refers to Raven as like, oh yeah, Matt and that one.
The little girl. I think he said that little girl. He's hanging out with that little girl. It's really
that little girl of his running around the house is so annoying.
Oh man, Kevin, he's great.
They're not invited to Thanksgiving.
All right, we have another question from John Densford on Twitter who asks, is it just me or is it really weird that Kevin doesn't look into the camera during his DRs? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it makes sense to me why Kevin might not look at the cameras if he feels like that's maybe a little awkward to look straight at the cameras. I don't know. Aubrey, was that ever a problem on Survivor?
No, I don't think so. But I mean, he is in like a little room. Like, I don't know. I wonder how big that room is. Also, I've been getting the distinct impression, and maybe I'm like taking this emotional intelligence obnoxiousness too far, but I feel like he's been like trying to hold back tears for a few days. Am I the only one who sees that?
Well, he was crying in the freezer.
Pretty unhappy in there.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he just can't. don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's been having a hard time. Like his only allies are Paul, so much. Alex, and Jason, and they have all turned on him at this point. Even his best friend Jason, and he's like everything he does, he's getting harped on. Like, oh, why are you acting like this, Kevin? Why you need to be not acting so sketchy? He's like, what am I doing?
And he didn't sign up for this. He's like, I thought we were gonna have a fun summer with the pool and the noodles. I didn't know what.
And then everyone was gonna come for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right.
Don't mess with Kevin. Like, I think I would go to war for that guy. I love him.
Are you going to Thanksgiving?
I hope so. I would love to go. I would love to go. And you know what? I know that his family is just seems so nice. Like, they're all watching and I feel for them. Like, that's their dad. Like, there's such a little community. The whole thing with Derek annoyed me. Like, does Alex think everybody from Boston's the same? Well, Providence and Boston are not the same. Don't even go there with me.
She said that and I even forgot. I was like, what? Everyone from Massachusetts? And people are like, he's not from Massachusetts. He's from Providence. Yeah. Now you've got me being ignorant, Alex.
Well, apparently Derek called him Kev, and they were like, who calls somebody like that? That would be like if he called you Alex. Yeah. Right. Obviously, they know each other.
Secret twins. Bam.
Aubrey, we should make a campaign to get invited to Kevin's Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
that'll be fun. Another question. We've got one from Gregory McBean, the great Gregory McBean. Does Alex have an advantage in this competition since she has become a hot dog expert in the past week? That's what I was saying. Unfair advantage, right, Alex?
I mean, her and Jason really crushed it here. So it worked out well. It looked like they had a solid enough platform. So it really didn't. It really was, just a metaphor, as it turns out.
Okay. we have another question.
It wasn't about hugging to a bun at all. You just had to stand on a perch.
Well, hold on to your buns, house guests. That's what Julie said.
That's good.
Yeah. There's condiments. Watch out for the relish.
We have a question from Kyle Dorr, who asks if Aubrey, if Paul was ever on Survivor, do you think he'd go far or let his ego for reputation take him down like Tony Vlachos?
Oh, Tony, that still stings. I can't even
I know.
Well, that also was like my curse. I had that curse through the entire game. Like, you talked to Tony day one, like Michaela said on like day 30, whatever. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
You were the mark of your season.
Yeah, I was.
You talked to Cody.
I'm just picturing like a little bearded Tony running around like, all right, look, Aubrey, friendship. We got an alliance. It's going to be great. We're going to make a bunker and we're going to put rubber ducks in it. It's going to be...
Oh my gosh. I think he would go far or be right before the merge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although we can never underestimate, I feel like with that translation, right? Like Hayden did really well, right? He played Big Brother and then he's like, look, I can make this work on Survivor. Yeah. But I feel like we can't underestimate like the hanger factor. Like that's a real thing. Cause I'm such a horrible, but I'm just the worst. If I haven't eaten. And some people, they just have that, and some people don't have that so much, but I feel like, you give me a few days without food and I'm just going to be like, I'm getting myself voted out for some kind of faux pas because I'm just not dealing with it anymore. So,
Survivor's knowing when to be quiet when people are hangry. Like a big thing you just do is I always say that I knew the first time who I could play with because I could sit in silence with them and their vibe didn't irritate me. Like
I would miss that. I would be like, hey, yeah, it's a really nice weather today. Like, shut your whore mouth.
or like, I'm pissed. Oh, your boy. I would. Nothing.
Yeah.
Why you look so sad? Why you look so pissed?
I'd love to see him and Michaela together. That would be amazing.
Oh, man. Michaela would not have any of that.
Maybe best friends or worst enemies.
No. All right. We have another question from Mr. K17. History may repeat itself if Paul takes Josh to the end, thinking he can outspeak Josh at Final 2. Mr. K says Josh has 6 jury votes locked in. Alex, what do you think about that claim?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know about that yet. It's early yet.
Six seems like a lot, especially when there's only 3 people in the jury at the moment.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, nothing's locked in either, right? I mean, there's still game to be played. Even the people in the jury now, you would think would be swayed to some degree. I mean, Cody, he doesn't seem like, I mean, he is like a pretty firm guy in terms of what he believes, but he's also seems like the kind of guy that like allows new information to potentially like impact where he's going with his vote. Like, I think he cares enough to really do that. So, you know, they will get tapes. They will get new information as people come in. And, you know, like we talked about, this week could potentially disrupt some of the existing relationships. And if people come in, you know, feeling differently about Paul than they do right now, that potentially is, you know, something that changes things around.
I think that's problematic. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think what's problematic for Paul right now is with the people that he has left are people that he's got a deep relationship with, right? So the people left are people where he's forged this, like, you're in my final two, you're in my final three. So the relationships he has right now are very intense. Paul doesn't have relationships by being like kind of nice and neutral with people. He's got them by like really actively forging them. It reminds me of me, my first season of like with Ty, like it's us to the end with Joe. When Paul cuts a Matt or a Raven or a Christmas or a Josh, who's very emotional, these people are going to feel really like their best friend, like totally turned on them. And all they wanted to do the whole season was please Paul. I could see them wanting to get revenge on him because his relationships now are so deep.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's why, you know, Survivor is like kind of an interesting case study for this season as we're like gearing up for down the stretch. Cause like, I've always found it like, and I hate that stretch of Survivor. And I feel like they've come such a long way from like what a lot of people do consider kind of the dark days of Survivor, which were like mostly boring seasons for a lot of people. But I mean, you do have back to back, you have Rob and Redemption Island, like showing how you can control people to a, like a cult like degree, to the point where they're, you know, got a buddy system going to the bathroom. So where they're refusing to eat food that other people not in the alliance are offering them. And he made that work and got all the votes. And then the very next season, right? Or is it the next season? Yeah, it is, right? That you have Coach trying the exact same thing, basically. And it just backfires completely, where like he has kind of that control all game. I mean, it seems like, at least from a lot of the edit were presented, I mean, he's really like built this like cult-like mentality around the group and around unifying everyone together. But the management isn't there. As people leave one at a time, they're leaving just more and more and more angry that they got that close to what they were promised and it was taken away from them. And we see just a completely different outcome. I mean, everyone's furious at him. So yeah, I mean, it's really hard to predict, isn't it? Like
an Alex or a Christmas, I could see them. Like, it's more than just like a strategic relationship. He like chose Christmas to be his girl in the skydiving suit. He and Alex have this special secret side deal. I would be pissed if he took me out and I was taken out very close to the end of the game. And then I had to turn around and vote for Paul. Like I say, this time when I played, I realized why Sydney didn't vote for me. Because I was so annoyed at Sarah. I am very glad I had one more day to kind of like come down from that. I could see Alex or Christmas, they go out like very close to the end. I think that could mess Paul up.
Yeah, and that's another part of it too, where I do think that Big Brother juries in general tend to vote less emotionally than Survivor juries. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because they have a lot more time to decompress because right. The season is so much longer. However, this season has had one of the more prolonged pre-jury stages of any season in Big Brother. And we're seeing a lot of people are going to go out in rapid succession toward the end and have less time to decompress from that. So we could see a more emotional jury than we're used to. But juries, as we mentioned, are very difficult to predict. I mean, I tweeted out that I thought Paul was making a mistake with how he was bashing Cody, and I had 50,000 people be like, Cody is never ever once considering ever gonna be voting for Paul ever in his life. And it's like, well, I mean, he did actually say on the feeds that he was planning on voting for Paul, but that's fine, you can be stupid. It's so difficult to predict. And you know, Cody can leave the game thinking he wants to vote for Paul, but he can be told in the jury house like, yeah, he's still talking about you. Yeah. And he can be annoyed at that. And all of these people, as Aubrey mentioned, who are so close close with Paul, who have this intense, Christmas is willing to give up her game for Paul. And so if she ends up getting stabbed in the back by him, she'll be pissed. She'll be like, what, why would you do that? I was willing to fall on my sword for you. And that's how a lot of these people feel. I mean, Matt thinks that Paul is willing to fall on his sword for Raven. And when that doesn't follow through, I mean, they are going to be mad.
Might
that
be said, lethal. Yeah.
That said, it's like, who else are they going to vote for? That's really the only counter argument to this is like, I think they could vote for Josh, but like, who else are they going to vote for next to Paul?
I believe Christmas said her goal was just to make jury on live television. Oh. I was really hoping we'd get like an audible groan from the audience that would make it in the house there.
Not really.
So once I hurt myself, I was just like, my only goal is to make sure. I'm like, what? No, once you hurt yourself, you were a shoo-in for the late game. You should have really been like starting to scheme at that point. Because if it turned around on you, you'd just be like, but I can't compete. What are you going to really waste a week? Like it's such ammo. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. One more question here before we wrap this up from Mike Bloom. He asks, which Big Brother 19 house guest will be the first to appear on Odd with Aubrey?
Kevin.
Oh,
Kevin, yeah, I love Kevin so much. But who's the oddest in there? I think Josh would be fun too. I'd do Kevin or Josh or Jason. Kevin, Josh, Jason. Jason.
See, this is what we should do. We should both get invited to Kevin's Thanksgiving, and then we'll do a double feature. We'll do Odd with Aubrey, and then we'll do the Taryn Show. It'll be
that
great.
That sounds perfect. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
It's great.
All right. Do we have a hashtag for tonight? I know we had Alex.
So many. One. Well, I said Ark and Sassy, but then I saw the chat room saying Free Range Aubrey, which I thought was really funny.
I liked I lost my cookies. I thought that was pretty
good. Grow a pearl.
Grow a pearl. Man, there's too many good ones.
Chat, Aubrey, what do you like? What does Aubrey like? Aubrey's the best.
No. It's up to the people. I'm all about juries. The jury's always right.
Right.
Perfect. All right. Aubrey, do you want to tell us how to find your podcast and do you have anything else you want to plug?
Sure. So you can follow me at Aubrey Bracco with no E in my first name on Twitter and Instagram. I'll be posting my podcast and I'd love to be in touch. I'm in California right now, job hunting. So yeah, be in touch. It's fun to talk about Big Brother. It's sorry if I talk about Survivor too much, but...
No, it's fun. It's fun.
It's good. Yeah, no, I think it's good to get the perspective, especially because we have done like a lot of comparison to certain Survivor seasons and stuff like that. And we have a lot of Big Brother guests on here. So it's good to get some perspective.
Appreciate it. And good job. You guys have been doing a really good job staying up late. So I think you've been doing some really solid work. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's been fun. I've been enjoying this season.
And I'm enjoying your articles too. I'm amazed you're finding ways to keep writing about this stuff when it like, you know, I know a lot of people that tried to, you know, get on this train this summer and they are long since off of it. So
love out the analogies. The wrong jury didn't like my analogies, but I like them just fine.
Yeah.
A lot of people were cursing our names, Rob and I, because we made a podcast preseason, which is like why a Survivor fan should watch Big Brother. And they're just like, why did you do this to us?
You did this to me. I want my life back.
Look, if Aubrey can do it, and everyone can do it because, you know, fun. Big Brother, it's great. Yes.
It's fun. It's just psychology and people. And it's great when people are watching the live feeds for you, just tune into Rob and the Taryn Show. Congrats.
When it's
on that.
Good, it's really, really good, man. I stand by that statement.
Yeah. All right. So as I mentioned, we will be live tomorrow morning at noon Eastern to update you on what the nominations are going to be and all the plans. And maybe there'll be something exciting. Maybe people have flipped on Paul and he's on the block. Who knows? Make sure you tune in to find out. As I mentioned, there will be no Sunday episode or recap, I should say. So check that out on Monday morning. Rob will be on the update there. Of course, make sure you check out the Taryn Show next Tuesday. Have a great guest. It'll be great. It'll be fun. Yes, follow Aubrey on Twitter. It's Aubrey Bracco. You can follow Alex at Alex Kidwell. I am at Armstrong Taryn. For Aubrey and Alex, I am Taryn Armstrong. Hashtag, what are we going to go with? Hashtag grow a pearl?
I like it.
All right. Hashtag grow a pearl. We will see you next time.